Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
In a Dedham courtroom today, lawyers for Robert Kraft will argue that the owner of the New England Patriots and Gillette Stadium is not liable for the deaths of two young women killed in a drunk driving accident in 2008. Both the driver and the passenger had spent the day drinking at a tailgate party during a country music festival at the stadium. Both were underage. Kraft's attorneys will compare him to a teenage girl in an unrelated case who threw a party while her parents were away. In that case, the court ruled the parents were not liable because they did not supply the alcohol. WBUR's David Boeri reports.
On July 26, 2008, Deborah Davis of Milton and four young friends paid $40 to park their minivan in a lot at Gillette Stadium. They did not have tickets to get inside the country music festival. They came to tailgate and party.
Back down a country road, the girls are always hot and the beer is ice cold.
The stadium held 54,000 fans. In the parking lots, there were tens of thousands more, police estimated. Many of them had no tickets to get inside, like 20-year-old Deborah Davis, 19-year-old Alexa Lateo, and 20-year-old Nina Houlihan.
I'm pretty sure that we were all mixing hard alcohol with a soda or a juice, and then eventually we were just taking straight shots of vodka or rum, in their case, and then drinking beer.
Never gonna grow up, never gonna slow down. We were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show.
By 2008, the Country Music Festival at Foxborough was gaining a reputation among law enforcement agents, one of the biggest underage binge drinking tailgate parties in New England. The kid drinkers were as conspicuous as their red solo cups, the drinking games of Beirut or beer pong, the free-for-all, and the mayhem. Nina Houlihan says the three young women drank with their friends for hours, moving between parking lots 11 and 13. Within a couple of hours, Nina says, she was inebriated, and so was the crowd. It was out of control. Witnesses described people dancing atop buses. She says guys were brawling, guys and girls were fighting, and they were urinating and vomiting in public.
It was like a zoo. It was crazy. It was just like a party gone out of control.
But she says no one checked their IDs. No one stopped their games of beer pong or drinking jello shots.
You never saw any security guards there. You were never asked if you were underage, if you had a ticket. And you never saw security guards asking that of anybody you were with?
No, none of that.
You're sure?
Right.
No
From
security
what I remember,
guards?
No, none.
Signs on the way into the Gillette lots read, no tickets, no entry. The presence of so many without tickets suggests the policy was neither widely nor evenly enforced by parking lot attendants.
We stopped to pay, but nothing to do with tickets. We're all fine. We didn't have any trouble.
Did anybody come up to you and ask whether you had a ticket or not?
No.
The day sizzled, just shy of 90. And then at 6, Nina says, security guards and cops showed up to tell everyone without a ticket to get out or be arrested.
How can you have something, host an event where you know that everyone's getting wasted, drunk, inebriated, and then kicking them out?
Deborah Davis got into the front passenger seat of Alexa Lateo's car. Nina got into the back, and Alexa took the wheel. A mile or so down Route 1, she took a curve at high speed, lost control, and hit a tree. Nina suffered multiple fractures and a broken pelvis. She believes Alexa and Deborah died instantly.
I just remember looking in the front seat and seeing their... they weren't there anymore. I kept tapping them and, you know, shaking them, but like trying to do anything I could, and I knew they weren't just passed out or had concussions. I just had a feeling.
It seemed that their necks had been broken.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa had a blood alcohol content of 0.24. three times the legal standard of intoxication. Deborah's was 0.20. So who was to blame? Robert Kraft and his family businesses did not supply alcohol to any of them. The young women brought it with them. They drank it on Kraft property and chose to drive off while intoxicated. By any standard, they share responsibility for what happened.
Yes, I was negligent. Yeah, it's hard to live. Sometimes, you know, knowing that you are the only one. I wish I had never gone.
Both Nina and the parents of Deborah Davis are suing the Kraft companies, claiming negligence, gross negligence, and willful and wanton behavior. Their attorney, Joseph Borsellino, argues that Robert Kraft and his companies are just as liable as if Kraft had sold to three women alcohol.
Supplying alcohol, furnishing, means to allow underage drinking to occur, whether you actually hand the alcohol to the party or sell it to them or not. If you're allowing them to underage drink on your property and you're not doing enough to prevent it, you are now furnishing them alcohol.
That is the criminal standard for furnishing in Massachusetts. The civil standard is much narrower. It has a bright line test. The lawyer for the Krafts cites a recent ruling by the state's highest court called Giuliano. It's the case of a teenage girl who threw a party while her parents were away. One of the guests drove off drunk and crashed, causing permanent injuries to his passenger. The court ruled the parents were not responsible because neither they nor their daughter supplied the alcohol. But, argues Joseph Borsellino,
in the Giuliano case, there was no fee for entry. It was not a profit-making activity. In the Country Music Fest, it was just the opposite. The profit-making activity brings along with it the duties and responsibilities to keep the property safe.
And unlike the 19-year-old hosting the party in the Giuliano case, Borsellino argues, the Krafts had the means or ability to control these underage drinkers at the music festival.
In the Country Music Festival, in contrast, the owners of the property had an 800-man security force.
The two lawsuits draw a picture of CEO Robert Kraft and his group with their heads in the sand about underage drinking. Just a year before the deaths in 2007, violence, vandalism, and underage drinking at the festival led Foxborough selectmen to suggest it was a riot. The police and fire chief said that tailgating and underage drinking were the major issues. What was once acceptable had become an impossibility. By July 26, 2008, underage binge drinking could no longer be considered a surprise. But, according to testimony, the Kraft Group added 1,000 more parking spaces in Lot P11, and it had no more than two guards who said they didn't patrol.
And the testimony of the security guards and the kids is unanimous that no one from the Kraft companies stopped and inquired of a single one of them at any time throughout the day.
We tried to get comment from the Kraft Group. Yesterday, Douglas Fox, the Kraft's main attorney in the case, stated its longstanding practice not to discuss current litigation.
As soon as we lost Deb, I used to stand in front of the refrigerator and cry and look at my Deb's picture.
Mary Ann Davis is Deborah Davis's mother.
So I said, you know what, Deb, I promise that I'm going to do everything in my power to try and save another family from this pain and suffering needlessly.
By the way, if you think you've heard the name of Deborah Davis before, you probably have. She was named after her aunt, who was allegedly murdered by Whitey Bulger. Her father, Stephen Davis, who's had more than his share of loss, vows he will take this lawsuit to the very end.
Bob Kraft and Jonathan could put a stop to this thing on a phone call. Two words, stop it. You know, they have the power. They own it.
In Superior Court today, the attorney for the Krafts will seek to have the lawsuits dismissed summarily. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.